You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Live radio sometimes.
Okay, so the Ports of Auckland has applied for consent from Auckland Council to deepen the city's shipping channel so larger ships can come into the port. With the population expected to grow to by a million by 2050, this means there's going to be more demand for online shopping, commercial goods and general goods which come via container ships. Currently, ships entering the harbour can hold up to 5,000 containers. With the gradual deepening of the channel, which would allow for 12,000 containers per ship in the future. In an effort to understand why this is necessary and to understand the potential effects this move may have, I talked to Matt Ball from Ports of Auckland and started off by asking why they applied for consent.
We've applied for consent to deepen the channel because container ships are getting bigger and we need to be able to accommodate those ships. So as more and more people live in Auckland, as they buy more and more stuff, then more and more stuff needs to come on ships. Most of that is containerised, the sort of stuff you buy in, you know, in the shops, warehouse, Kmart, whatever it might be, supermarkets. And as shipping companies try and get more efficient and actually make some money, they're starting to use bigger ships because it's more cost effective.
Okay, so why is this decision now being made when the port may be moving to somewhere else in New Zealand?
Well, no decision has been made on moving the port, and when you operate a port, you have to make decisions many years in advance. So you do all your infrastructure planning over quite a long time period. Ours is done over a 30-year timescale. We published that timescale after the last report had been done, the Port Future Study that was in 2016. We developed a 30-year master plan in line with that particular study, which said the port might move, but it might not. And it might move over a long time scale, and that before it moved, it needed to improve its facilities, so you know, deeper channel, more capacity in certain areas. So we're working to a 30-year time scale that was set by the previous Port Future Study. There's no decision on when or if the port might move. There's no urgent capacity issue. We have at least 30 years of capacity here, and we can probably provide more without too much difficulty. And it takes a horrendously long time to build a large infrastructure like this. It will be expensive. There will be significant environmental impacts from developing a new port. And those sort of things take a long time to work through.
Now, what would the environmental impact of putting in this channel have on the harbour? I mean, Auckland Harbour is already struggling. And has any consideration been put into how to minimise and offset the environmental impact?
Yes, there has. So first off, any material, so there's a lot of testing that takes place on all the material that's before it's dredged. Anything that's contaminated goes to landfill, so that's actually cleaning up the harbour. And then any other material that's clean is dug out. There are no explosive use, no blasting of any of those sort of destructive methods. It's actually a very simple methodology. You basically have a digger, an excavator with a long arm on sitting on a barge, and it reaches down and digs out the channel. Very low impact, creates very low levels of turbidity and silt and that sort of thing. And then you just put the material in a barge. It's taken over 150 kilometres away from Auckland, outside our 12-mile limit, and disposed of in one of five official disposal sites around New Zealand. So in effect, you're picking up seabed from one place and moving it to another. We've also done extensive studies both on the impact of dredging and the impact on the disposal site, and there will be extensive monitoring of that as well. We've dredged many times, or the port has dredged many times in the past, so there's really good research on the impacts of dredging. It shows that the channel area actually recovers relatively quickly, and there are no long-term detrimental impacts.
And how long would it take for a deeper channel to be put in place, and what impacts would this have on the port during this time?
So dredging depends when you need it. So you only start doing it when you need to, because it costs money. We would probably start this in 2021 because we have been told by the shipping lines that they do want to bring in the next size of ships quite soon. The dredging would be done in two phases. So we wouldn't dredge for the very deepest ships, the new Panamax ships, until later.
And how would this affect ships coming into the port? Would there be blockages or ships unable to come into Auckland ports while dredging is taking place?
No, there'd be no impact on shipping or anything else happening out in the harbour, out in the Gulf. as I said, it's a very low impact method. You just simply take a barge out there and dig up parts of the seabed. You can move the barge if you need to, or you just do it around current shipping timetables. We've already planned that, you know, should there be an America's Cup regatta or any other events around that time, we can simply stop work and wait until whatever event or whatever other shipping need is it's gone past.
Okay, so bigger ships means more emissions, and Wellington Ports is currently working on reducing their carbon emissions. Will the Ports of Auckland increase their efforts to reduce their emissions as bigger ships come and visit?
So actually, bigger ships doesn't mean bigger emissions. If you look at the shipping patterns over the last, say, 10, 20 years, what's been happening is that more goods are coming on fewer ships. So there are actually fewer ships coming into the port. And that's the whole reason that shipping companies use larger ships. A ship that has 10,000 containers on it is going to be more efficient per container than several ships bringing, say, 3,000 containers each. So in that sense, there won't be more emissions. In fact, we may find emission reductions. We are actually very focused on reducing our own emissions. So you have to separate out the emissions from ships, which we can't control. That's shipping lines and governments and international regulations. And then there's the emissions from the port itself. So our emissions are largely land-based. That's the heavy machinery that we use, but also tugs. To that end, we've got two projects underway. We actually aim to be emissions-free by 2040. One part of this is we've ordered a new electric tug, so a battery-powered, battery-operated tug. It's a world first. It's our efforts to become emission-free that have actually got tug manufacturers looking at battery technology and how they could make a tug that was battery-operated. So we've actually brought forward that technology by a number of years, by pushing for that sort of technology. We've just named the tug. It's going to be called Sparky, thanks to a public vote, and it should be in Auckland Harbour about August, September next year. The other thing we're doing is investing in a hydrogen production plant. So we're very interested in the potential to use hydrogen in our heavy plant, and to that end, we're running a pilot scheme. This is in partnership with Auckland Transport, who will be running hydrogen buses as part of that trial. We're going through the resource consent process and working through all the rules and regulations for that at the moment. It is groundbreaking stuff, so it's actually taking quite a while to get the consent and to get all the rules set up around it, but we're hoping to have that in production, if not late this year, then early next year.
Well, you're listening to 95BFM, and that was James talking to Auckland Ports. And we just had a text come in that says, can you please ask what they do with the dredge materials, i.e. dumping?
So from my understanding, because I listened to that and I was sort of confused as they're saying like, oh yeah, this is all right, like we're going and dumping it somewhere 12 nautical miles outside of Auckland. So there's five spots around New Zealand where I think if you're mining undersea and you bring up seabed, you can just go and put it there. And I think they're put in particular places where it sort of gets like strong currents and stuff, so it gets spread around and it's not like a pile. I'm guessing that's what it is.
We'll look into it for next week, because that's definitely a question.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.